Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
There's a place on the northwest side, an old school place. A place that I drive, actually my wife drives me, an hour and a half or two from northwest Indiana across the city, across the south side, the west side, and to the north side. That's where I go for the best sausage in Chicago, Joseph's Finest Meats, USDA prime dry-aged beef, homemade sausages, and only the finest meats at 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. And on Sunday, June 29th, join us for the first ever Sicilian Summer Block Party right outside Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. Why am I supporting them? Because I grew up in a butcher shop like this. A family butcher shop. There are no fillers. There are no dyes. All clean and honest. If you love your family, you're going to get this type of meat for them. And that's from Joseph's Finest Meats. Proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way Podcast. There's a photograph on the column by James Benakis. Power Corrupts and Absolute Power Corrupts Absolutely is the name of his column for johncastnews.com. It's a picture of his great uncles, Politi and Jim Benakis. They're wearing bowler hats. They have mustaches. They're basically tough guys. They had to be tough to carve out a living in Chicago where there was no Social Security, no safety net, no welfare. You see them proud in the picture, but you know what you don't see? You don't see the hand of the political class in their pockets. You don't see the alderman smiling and the committeeman demanding and the other people who are going to suck up and basically sink their fangs into businessmen because that's how they've done it. This is a one-party town, one party. And you know what the party is. And historically, Chicago is corrupt as hell. Jimmy Benakis is a guy involved in the generations that came before him and after. He is the embodiment of the Chicago restaurateur. Grew up with restaurants. He had restaurants in Chicago. He had to deal with the aldermen. He had to deal with the committeemen. He had to deal with all of them in their pockets all the time. He's our guest on today's edition of the Chicago Way Podcast. Jeff Carlin is here as always, executive producer, WGN Radio, future physics teacher, friend to cats, baker of pies. And I'm John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And where are you as Mike Madigan faces 7.5 years in federal prison at the ripe old age of 83, as the Middle East implodes, as war begins, as hatreds boil, and as in Chicago, the mayor shoots down an effort by aldermen to protect it, protect the city from gang takeovers because he thinks they're discriminatory. Because he wants votes. And that's where you are, in the middle of all this, trying to make sense of it on the Chicago Way Podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall-style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. there was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower
as
by the
promised,
river. Castle.
The man who really knows the Chicago way.
You pull a gun. You send one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue.
Longtime lifelong Chicago restaurateur who wrote an amazing column. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's a photograph of his great uncle Politi and his great uncle Jim Banakis, and they're standing there in their store on, it looks like, Randolph Street, and they have these bowler hats on and tight overcoats. They look like, well, they're not, they don't look Ivy League, I'll tell you that. These guys are tough guys who had to carve out a living in Chicago without a social net against the blood-sucking sons of bitches who they called the politicians. Our guest, James Banakis. Jim?
Hi, John. Hi, Jeff. Good morning. Yeah, I was told these stories as a child. You know, my grandfather loved to recount all this stuff, you know, and it wasn't always about politicians. Sometimes it was other family members, but I love the stories, so I always kept them. And Uncle Politi, the one person in the picture, his name was Peter.
There's two people in the picture, so which one is Politi?
He's the one on the left.
All right.
At the tough guy. And he was in the family, he was like the enforcer. And my great-grandfather, back in that same period, went up to Milwaukee because he thought it would be less competition. And when he got up there, he got beat up. His business got roughed up, and Uncle Politi found out about, Theo Politi found out about it, and he gathered up a bunch of guys and went up there and took care of the business. So he had that reputation.
If I may interrupt one thing, I just want to ask everyone who's listening to this, if you know of any historian of the peddlers, the street peddlers in Chicago around the turn of the century, or the turn of the last century, 1890s, 1900s, early. My grandfather, my papu, was one of them, and I'm trying to learn more about them. And here comes Jim with this great column. So you can contact us if you want. If you have any information about the peddler life, please contact me at john@johncastnews.com, and I'd love to hear about it. I'm sure there's got to be historians who study this, right?
I'm sure there is. I'll tell you, I think his name was Charlie Moskos.
Yeah, Charlie Moskos.
I talked to him about it once in a while. You know, when we'd get together years ago, we'd talk about this type of thing. But my grandfather used to always liken this situation to a dance. And that's what Greeks love, that metaphor, dancing. You know, I think, you know, my former business partner, Steve Botus, you met him before.
Yeah.
He had some conflict with some guy. They were talking about some deal they were going to make. And he was telling me about this a couple of months ago. And he said, this guy was angry, and Steve said, well, it's not going to happen. The meeting's over. It's not going to happen. So the guy gets up, and in Greek, he says, the dance has begun, and he stormed out. Steve thought that was funny, you know, and it was sort of like Groucho in Duck Soup when he goes, of course, you know, this means war, you know, so.
Yeah, but talking like that can get you popped. Yeah.
I don't think it was that. I don't think it ever got to that. These were small-time businessmen. You know, they started out just pushing hand pushing carts around the city.
Like my grandfather.
Yeah. And, you know, it was the most basic kind of business at the time. And that's how it worked. And he, you know, he was telling me about how they, once they opened up the shop and they had to take care of more people, the cops would come by, take things, you know, the politicians would need Christmas trees at Christmas right. time or pumpkins and things like that. So, you know, it developed over the years into more things. And, you know, after my grandfather was in the restaurant business, so he had soda shops, and he barely survived the Depression. And somewhere along the line, and I don't know the history of it, but sales tax came into being, and he had to pay sales tax. And he said, you know, every 3 months, and I was telling Jeff earlier that there was no credit cards at this time. You know, everything was cash money. And so he said, you know, every 3 months, I'd give him a little something. This is his sales tax, you know. And I guess somebody mm-hmm. must have told him this is how you do it. You know, so he goes, they didn't bother you. You didn't bother them. So the war came, and then he started doing great during the war. You know, he was doing terrific business. And it must have been about 1944. My mother was a senior in high school. Wow. And one day, this sales tax examiner comes into the restaurant and goes up to my grandfather, and he said, and he introduced himself, and he says, I need to look at your books. And my grandfather didn't have any books, you know, but he was thinking, and it happened to be a Friday, and he said, you know what? They're at the bank. I can't get out of here, but if you come back on Monday, I'll have them for you. But he was, you know, he was like a nervous wreck thinking he was going to go to jail or something. He has no, sure. you know, nobody asked him for that before. So my mother, my dear sainted mother, spent the entire weekend coming up with 5 years of records. You know, so they did all these records for the bank examiner. It took her the whole weekend. And on Monday, he had the books.
Did she change pens?
God knows. I don't know. But, you know, she had to, he wanted her to stay home from school to sort of help, you know. And she ended up going. She said, I went to school. So the bank examiner comes in. He goes in the back of the restaurant. He sits in the booth. And my grandfather was a nervous wreck, and he said he just sat there for hours. My grandmother kept going over, you know, trying to charm him, you know, would you like some pie, honey? No, he didn't want anything. So he said, after about 3 or 4 hours, he said, Mr. Moles, can you come? My grandfather's name was Moles because everybody that came, you know, before 1910 had their name changed to American. Yeah, it's like
right.
But it was a Greek name that was changed. So he said, Mr. Moles, come and sit down with me. My grandfather, nervous wreck, but he sat down. And he goes, you know, I've gone over all these records, and I got to tell you, we owe you money. My grandfather said, you know what? I don't want the money. He said, but I want you to write me a letter that says you owe me money. And which the guy did. And so he filed it away. And then years later, when he was selling the restaurant, he had to go downtown and settle up with the guy who was the head of this, who happened to be a fellow Greek at the time. You know, so he thought, well, maybe I'm going to get, you know, some preferential treatment.
Right.
So he went in there and he sat down with this guy. And the guy goes, I don't like your numbers. My brother said, what? He goes, I don't like your numbers. But he goes, you don't like my numbers. So my grandfather whips out this paper and he shows him the paper that they, he goes, you owe me money. You know, which ended the whole thing, you know. So it was the one time that he got the best of the government people.
We are speaking to James Banakis, Chicago restaurateur and writer, the writer James Banakis, who's written a great column. He's written several for John Cass News. But this one, I think, embodies the entire venom of the Chicago way. And to open a window for the reader, listener, how did you come to this passion in this column?
Well, I lived it. It was so much. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of complicit, and so is everybody else who has a business, because we do the dance with everybody. You know, I mean, it's the way you do business. And let me give you an example. I had restaurants in River North, and there was, I'm not going to use the guy's name, but there was an alderman who didn't like the horses that were at the time that were faring around.
Right. All yes.
I know exactly. I know.
Say no more.
Alderman is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I think the reason he didn't like it, he said he didn't like defecating on Michigan Avenue, but
right.
I think the reason he didn't like it is he didn't get a big enough thought of what was going on. But if you ask, and I had to deal with this guy a lot, you know, and if I asked for anything, I'll show you how it worked. You'd say, you call him up and you'd say, I'd like to do an outdoor cafe on this new restaurant we did. And the first reaction they always have is to go, oh my God, what the hell do you want that for? You want an outdoor cafe? What if a cab jumps over the curb and hits a little girl and kills her? You know, and it's like, well, everybody has an outdoor cafe. We're going to build a fence. You know, we're going to do this.
Right.
Oh, this is going to be tough. You know, in other words, he's negotiating with you.
Exactly.
When he does this, you see. So now he says, I've got to get back to Idaho. And you guys drive me crazy. You know, like this is part of, you know, like I'm bothering him. And you know, it's just a horrible thing. So he comes back and he'll ask for something. And to be honest, for him, this guy, it was never money. It was something, you know, with that we had to do, provide, you know, something for his staff or something. But there was one time in particular that he wanted to do. Oh, I know what it was. I was with Let Us Entertain You for 25 years. And on our 20th anniversary, I thought it would be a good idea, along with Charles Haskell, one of my partners, that we get one of those honorary street signs for Rich Melman, you know, in heaven. So
yeah.
I said, well, I know this guy. I'll call him. I'll call the alderman. So I called him. Same thing. What the hell do you want something like that for?
Stop my God.
And I said, oh, God, okay. I said, well, I really want it. It's a little thing, a little thing. So he goes, all right, I got to call streets and sanitation. I gotta do. All right, I'll get back to you. So he gets back to me, and he goes, you know, I need a little campaign party at your restaurant. And I said, how little? And he goes, I don't know. It's going to be, you know, a campaign party. I said, okay. All right, done. So he does it. And we have this campaign party, and I realize that part of what he does is make me his bitch, his personal bitch, this whole thing, you know. So in other words, and in a good way, I mean, it's not a bad, he wasn't a mean guy or anything, but he had this election campaign, and he came the morning of the thing. And he brought in these pictures that were like 4 feet high of himself, you know, and they were like posters that looked like the Great McGinty or something, you know, like Franklin Roosevelt at the convention.
Yeah.
And there was one of him as a kid playing football for Lane Tech or something in a three-point stance. And so he goes, I want you to put these up. I said, all right, I'll let somebody put these up. And he goes, no, I want you to put them up.
What?
Said, I'm not getting up on a ladder and putting them up. He goes, well, these are very valuable pictures, and I don't want any thumbprints in them. Or, you know, you got to think of a way of putting helmets so you don't ruin the pictures. And I said, well, we'll figure it out. And he goes, but I want you to put them up. I'm not going to put them up. That's how it happened. I said, I'm not getting up. Because the ladder, you know, it wasn't just a step ladder. This is,
right.
You know, big. So that's always an argument. Then he goes, I want you to stay with me through this event, which turned out to be cocktails and past hors d'oeuvres and speeches and things like that. So,
what, was he eager to pay for the party?
Oh, no. That was understood that we were paying for the party.
Wait a minute. He's inviting people to your place. He's giving them liquor.
We had a banquet space. Well, you're doing me a favor by doing this, and I know you want me to run again and all this stuff. So I agreed to it. I mean, I was complicit. I agreed to it, you know, at the time. I thought, okay.
That's the way things are.
Right. What's good for him is what's good for you.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. It was just the way things were done. Yeah. And it wasn't only politicians. It were other people. You know, I remember a magazine, a magazine that was a Chicago-type magazine that we all know about, where the guy wanted me to do a party. And I brought it up with Rich. I said, hey, they want us to do a party for them. And he goes, we're not going to do a party for those guys. Well, I got the restaurant knocked down a couple of stars. You know, as a result, you know, because I didn't play along. It was just the way business was done back then.
You know, the way of journalism, it prides itself on being so clean. And then if you're in the restaurant business or food business, you know what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing people go along with it, but we do because we're trying to make business. You know, now I'm a small business owner, Jimmy. Uh-huh. And I got, you know, I don't have aldermen coming up to me, please, John, take care of me. But, you know, there's all sorts of things you got to pay out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have to pay for inspectors, thank God. What are you going to do, inspect my bedroom?
Well, I'm sure you've had people wanting you to write articles over the years that are complimentary to them or helpful to them in one way or another, you know.
I was at a christening many years ago. And you go to the banquet and the guys are going up to the bar, and I go to the bar, gin and tonic, bitters, and they start in on me. Other guys who are in this business start in on me. John, I want you to write about my restaurant or my store. We'll take care of it. I said, you'll take care of it. You know, right in front of everybody, I'm like, you'll take care of it. You know, immediately, if, you know, that's when you go for your knife, but I don't have a knife. I'm just a dad at a, you know, I'm a dad at a Mafdisha. And here's this manga going, you know, tough guy going, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Sata fiaxume. Like, we'll take care of it. In other words, I'll pay you off. Someone will pay you. And I said, okay. And the old guys started laughing. And this was when I was lead columnist at the Tribune. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? You don't have to pay me anything. I'll take care of it for you, free. And they're all looking like, what? And I go, just hear me out. The day you get indicted by a federal grand jury, I'm going to put you on the front page. Oh, sorry, Jeff. On the front page. You understand that? And all of a sudden, he had a big smile, like, I showed him who's boss. And then the smile got weaker and quizzlier and at the end. Because you can't, that's, but even that brutality is part of the Chicago way.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else. Part of the problem is that politicians, more often than not, are charming, charming people socially. Yeah. And I can say when they would come in the restaurant, and I had one restaurant that I was part of. It was called Great Gritsby's. It was on State and near Rush Street, where State and Chestnut meet. Mm-hmm. And George Dunn had his office around the corner. So he'd come in for lunch, and he was always so gracious. He said, you know, beautifully dressed all the time. He'd come in with his buddy.
The grand Irishman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but really a gracious, socially wonderful guy. Berdoliak has come into the restaurants. I went to a dinner one time for the Illinois Restaurant Association with Chrissy, my wife, mm-hmm. and we had to go to represent Lettuce. You know, I wasn't real happy about going, but it was in a hotel ballroom, and there was about 700 people there. And we walk in, and we're standing by the doorway, and there's a table there, and there's a guy with his wife there, and he said, you looking for a place to sit down? I said, yeah. He goes, sit with us. I said, all right. It was Alderman Mel. What a wonderful, gracious guy. I don't know what he was like, you know. But we had the most wonderful 3 hours with this guy, telling stories and laughing. His wife, equally charming, you know, and we had a wonderful time. And that's disarming. You know, it's disarming to have things like that.
Because then, and I'm taking Mel out of it, but then you have a meeting like you're doing a business meeting, and mm-hmm. the guy turns to you and says, I'm going to squeeze you, Corleone, you and your whole leaping family. When mm-hmm. when the corrupt senator from Nevada, who I think was Harry Reid, said that in the movie, everybody who was in business in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, every big city guy who was in a business knew exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Michael Corleone, who said, nothing. I will pay you nothing. You're going to provide the fee.
Yeah.
I just love that whole thing.
Even back, you know, when Theo Politi and those guys, some of these guys, they were charming. They, you know, even when, Madigan was going to get sentenced, you know, you heard all these people saying, well, he gave money to the orphanage of Holy whatever, you know, he gave this money and that money. And it was like that scene in The Godfather early on, where the one guy, they were having some kind of parade with the Virgin Mary statue, and he got in front of everybody, was pinning money on the statue, you know, to show how he...
Hey, Rocco. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's always been the way. You know?
It's funny because I got a kid who's working with me. I'm Jimmy, you don't mind, I know, but a friend of mine owns a real small bakery up on the north side here, and I help her out. I deliver to stores. It's baked goods, kind of a niche market, but she's looking for another driver to back up when I can't do it. And this kid's come in, born and raised in Houston, went to college in Minnesota, and now he's here in Chicago. And we're driving around the city and the suburbs, and I'm trying to give him the wisdom of the ways of the Chicago way. And explaining this to him is that, you know, the system, as Dan Proffitt always says, you know, it's not broken, it's fixed. It's just designed like this. It's designed to work this way, and it always seemingly has. And guys like Madigan, you know, have always reinforced those rules and changed the rules to make it work even smoother and better and make it more legal, air quotes around legal. But what was, I mean, you're talking about seeing this as a, you know, as a professional seeing it and, you know, hearing the stories or, and from your family, where is like your first remembrance of this, you know, that it was like the first time you're like, okay, this is what I got to do. This is business.
You mean when I was in business?
Yeah. Or even as a kid, I mean, seeing it within the family.
Oh, as a kid, I heard it from, you know, when I, before I could remember things, I heard these kind of stories. That was, the stories were always family, conflict, you know, this guy's a son of a bitch, you know, and, you know, even talking about family members and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather, I can talk about this now, they're all gone, but he always had problems with his brother-in-laws, you know, a lot mm-hmm. older.
They and always do.
Part of yeah. the thing. Yeah, the brother-in-laws were always arguing, and he only had one that he loved. But the others were no good, you know. So they were always arguing, you know. So I always heard those conflict stories, and I loved them because I sort of knew some of them, you know. And he'd always get mixed up, and he'd go, "You remember Charlie?" And I said, "No, I don't remember Charlie. He died 30 years ago," you know. But, you know, it's always, that's how we converse on that, you know. And I did something, I made videotapes, and it's sort of like what you did, John, with your dad. And when video cameras first came out, you remember they were the real big things that were probably yeah. 40 pounds each. I set one up and I videotaped my grandfather telling me some of these stories, and
oh my
I
God.
Still have them, and I still love them. You know, he told, they're all, and he was a funny guy. You know, he had a rough, you know, I heard stories from other people in the neighborhood that did business there. They'd say, "Your grandfather used to chase people out in the street with chef knives, you know, and, you know, like salesmen and things, you know." So he was kind of tough in the restaurant, but when he got retired, he was a gentle guy, you know, but that could, he'd talk about stories. I could tell you one story. He was 96 years old, and he was telling me, he's sharp as a tack, and he was telling, he lived to be 100, and he was telling me about some operation he had years before. And then he sat there, and he was thinking about it, and he said, "You know, that damn operation took 20 years off my life." And I thought, "Are you going to live to be 120? You know, I mean, he was still around. He was 96, you know, so.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to johncassnews.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago.
It's the Chicago way.
I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
So, what were the restaurants that you owned or were associated with in Chicago that people will remember?
I ran, at one point, I ran all the old, original Let Us Entertain You restaurants. But the ones that I had the most interest in were Papagus, the original one, which was in the area of Halstead and North Avenue, mm-hmm. and Papagus and Bub City were the ones I had the biggest interest in. And I had a Papagus out here in the suburbs too. And that was another thing. When I opened the Papagus, we called the restaurant Papagus Greek Taverna. That was the
I remember
that was the official name of the restaurant. So we'd come out to Oak Brook, and I had to deal with the Oak Brook guys. And so they said, what's the name of the restaurant? And I said, Papagos Greek Taverna. And they said, the taverna has to go. So I said, well, in Greek, in Greece, a taverna is an eating establishment. It's not a bar. And they got so pissed. I mean, they were like, what? The papa, you know, the taverna has to go. We're not putting it in Oak Brook. I said, all right. So I just said, Papagos.
This is DuPage County. Yeah, right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
We're going to call Pate Phillip.
That cost me a handful of cigars that I bought in the mall.
You know. How you doing?
But I'll tell you, hey, let me just, I give credit where credit is due. I had three restaurants in Naperville. And when I was out there, there was a mayor, I think his name was Mayor Pradell. And I give him credit for making Naperville what it was. And I don't know him. I didn't know him all that well, but I interacted with him a lot. And I'd call him and ask him for things. And he couldn't have been nicer, never asked me for a thing, always helpful, over and above helpful. And I kept waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, like, oh, boy.
When does the hand come? Right.
I'm going to get it here, you know, because he'd do something. The only thing that he ever asked me was, I was opening this one place. It was kind of like a sports bar. And he said, I just have to know one thing. And I thought, here it comes. And he goes, what are the cocktail waitresses going to wear? And I said, what are you asking me for? And he said, I just want to know. He said, I just want to know that it's not going to be anything. And I said, well, they're going to look like the cheerleaders that were on your high school football team. And, you know, that cheered for the football team. He goes, okay, that's good. That's good. You know, that was it. Wonderful.
Wow. So what is the Chicago way, Jim? Jeff's always looking for an example for the audio. So what is the Chicago way?
Well, from my point of view, you coined the phrase, you and Sean Connery or David Mamet, whoever wrote that.
Very good.
It's, for me, it's paying tribute, you know, for certain things. At one point, many years ago, me and a friend of mine wanted to sell donuts and coffee. And we were going to sell a certain coffee that was made here in Chicago and our donuts. And we wanted to go to the new Midway Airport remodel and do this. And we were told, you know, you had to make a contribution to somebody's reelection campaign, and it was no problem. So I imagine that's the Chicago way, you know.
How much?
I'm not going to even say. It's a lot of money. It would have been, I would have still been selling donuts today to try to break even. And I don't know that that stuff. And that's the other thing. You don't negotiate with these guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, they tell you what it is. They walk away. They're kind of, I mean, when you're doing negotiations, you're not negotiating. You're just bending over, more or less, you know, taking it. May I have another, sir?
Yes, sir. Before we let you go, because these have been some great stories. I love it. I'd love to get something, you know, you've been in the kitchen is your safe space, your happy place. What's the thing you do? Family's getting together for Sunday dinner, supper. What are you making?
You mean right now? We got together last weekend. We got together, right. What was it? Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And we made skirt steaks on the grill. We made my wife's recipe of, it's sort of a Greek, she was from Texas, so it's sort of a Greek Texas potato salad that we made, and grilled vegetables. We do things like that. my daughter now does Christmas. And we also have our Greek Easter the last 2 years. I've got to tell you about this.
Yeah.
My brother's son-in-law is a surgeon. And he was at one of our Christmas get-togethers. And he goes, I'm going to do Easter. I said, well, I hope you know what you're getting yourself into. More than, you know, it's going to be a big deal. You know, he goes, no, I'm going to do Easter. This guy surprised the entire family. He made the charaki, you know, the bread, and the special bread. He baked it himself.
Was he Greek?
Lamb. No, he's not Greek.
He's just a white guy?
Right. Yeah, a very white
just
guy.
Just a white guy.
And, you know, it's not even like it was an Italian, you know.
Right, right.
You know, it could, you know.
So he made tzatziki and lamb?
So terrific. Awesome. Lamb, everything, you know. And he even went out and got things like Greek vodka from Greece or something that he was serving. Whoa. And pastries, everything. I mean, he got so into it. And we talked about next year doing the whole lamb, you know, so we'll see. Usually we were doing like double lamb chops on the grill.
Nah.
That worked for a couple of years. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's just the getting together that counts. I did one thing one time. I hope I'm not taking your time up here.
But no, I love it.
I did one thing one time where I was at Bub City many years ago. My family was pretty much together, like the grandparents were still living, you know. And I got so into it at the time that we had this big smoker. It was a Southern Pride smoker.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to make smoked turkey. And I had my chef make oyster dressing to go along with it. And I brought it home, and Chrissy, you know, presented it for Easter, you know, I mean, for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And everybody came over. It was like, shit. You know, they were crazy hating and all this stuff, you know. And I couldn't understand it because at the time I thought, this is the most terrific. And it turned out to be one of the most disliked Thanksgivings we've ever had, you know.
Because you changed it radically. You went with oysters. I can just imagine. Why don't you serve sushi for Christmas or for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I learned my lesson, John. I didn't take it any further than that.
Jeff should know that there's a picture out there of you and me cooking a lamb together, and it was during a time when I was suffering from gout, and it was killing me. I didn't know what was going on. And
Jeff, he comes up to me, in the middle of all this, and he goes, I broke my foot. And I said, what? I said, how did you break your foot? He goes, I don't know, but I broke my foot. So he goes and he puts his foot up on something, and I'm doing all the work. And I'm thinking, is he doing this on purpose? Like, you know, he's got like a cigar and he's sitting back. And, actually had the gout.
Allopurinol. Yeah. Well, we were cooking. It was a cook for lamb for our priest, Father Nicholas from Holy Apostles Church, and his wife, Presbytera. And I guess there were like 30, 40 people there. Big lamb cook and sausage and everything. And Jimmy had to do all the work. Thank God my son was there.
Speedo. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't do all the work. He did the work too. But towards the end, he really wound
up. It was
up.
Hurting. Yeah.
That was the day. John and I thought this was going to be a primarily Greek party. And Father Nick had invited a lot of neighbors and people that weren't really people from the church or anything. And I remember I bought like this enormous piece of feta cheese and olives, and I brought it. Nobody ate anything. We thought it was going to be a typical Greek party, and right. It turned out to not be, you know. It was interesting. But we did a couple of lambs over the years. It was fun. Nobody makes lamb like John. You know, it's like a religion to him. Yeah.
Now the boys
and
do
I'll
it.
Tell you, nobody, I'm going to say this for the listeners, nobody is an editor like this guy. He is a, I originally, on this one, wrote a completely different column about the city and how it's not working and all that. And he was going to put it, he was going to post it today and, or Friday. And he said, I'm going to post this, and I think it's good. It's real good. He goes, but let me ask you a question. Don't you think it might be good if you put yourself in it? And I said, well, I don't know. And he goes, you know how you feel and all that? And I turned around. I said, hey, I think you're right. So I look at it. I was trying to work with it. And then I end up throwing the whole damn thing out and starting over again. And he was absolutely right. You know, I mean, he just has those journalistic instincts that very few people probably have. He's the best. You are, John.
You love you, man. You opened the floodgate of emotions that had been pent up for years. And I know that they were there because I saw my father and my brother deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help them. You know, all the chiselers and all everything. And
yeah, the guys coming in and getting the steaks.
The steaks, yeah. Good steaks, Greek. These are good steaks. Yeah, they are good steaks, you son of a bitch.
My grandfather used to say when one of these guys came in and said, you know, I'm the godfather of the Greeks, you knew you were really going to get it. He was an expert. He was an expert on dealing with them.
You know, one time Rich Daly said, we were in the car and we weren't driving. He had a cop driving, but he turns to me and says, John, what the bleep do these Greeks want? And I looked at him. I was thinking, how do I say this? What they want is you to get off their back. You know, I said that in a different way.
Well, you know why? Because everything is a barter with these guys. It's all, yeah. You know,
right.
I'm going to scratch your back. You're going to scratch my back.
Yeah, but I'm going to scratch your back under the color of law.
Right.
We're doing this properly, legally. And you're going to give me money based on what? On my clout, on my power? Like I'm a pasha in a Turkish court? Come to me, Greek, and kiss my hand. You know, we have the saying for the pasha. If you can't cut off the pasha's head, you kiss the hand and wait.
Yeah, the Greeks had all these things that hardly made any sense, you know, at one point to translate. But in Greek, they make sense. Funny.
Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun.
For James Banakis, restaurateur, writer. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN. For me, John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com. $50 a year, and you can always get a good cup of common sense. Thanks for joining us on the Chicago Way, and join us again next time on WGN Plus.